Miguel Hernandez University, B2 Listening Test, September 2014. I'm going to give you the instructions for this test. I shall introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you will hear this sound. You will hear each piece twice. Remember, while you are listening, write your answers on the question paper. You will have 3 minutes at the end of the test to check your answers and copy them onto the tables provided. There will now be a pause. Please ask any questions now because you must not speak during the test. Now, open your question paper and look at task one. You will hear six different people talking about their degrees at university. For questions 1 to 5, choose from the list B to H, which degree they are studying nowadays. You will hear each piece twice. Use the letters only once. There are two extra letters that you do not need to use. Speaker 0, letter A, has been done for you as an example. You now have 1 minute to read the sentences below.
Speaker 0.
Now, being in my fourth year at university, I could say I have achieved a complete theoretical understanding and vision of the processes that regulate production, distribution and consumption of goods and services which firms and corporations undergo. When I first started, I was not sure I could devote my career to this sector, but as I have a relative who owns a company, I will be given the chance to develop my skills there, especially in statistics and regression analysis. I can't wait to finish this year. I think I will pass all my exams in September.
Speaker 1.
My favourite subject is comparative linguistics, which compares and contrasts the different languages through texts to establish the historical and current relationships among them. I chose my degree because I love the Anglo-Saxon literature, but I might change it next year to study anthropology, since I have realised that what I really love is learning how language influences social life. I'm currently taking the first course of my degree, and I'm sure that I will miss all those interesting texts and authors, but I will find new ones focusing on how our lives are influenced by our society and culture that will be very inspiring too.
Speaker 2.
My future job will be focused on the management of operations and decision-making processes, as well as coordinating the staff working in a certain company. One of my main duties will be reporting the staff performance to the board of directors. My two favourite subjects are finance and organisational psychology. I will probably take a master's degree in one of these fields when I finish at college. I would love to work for a big company, even if this means moving to a bigger city. I'm so glad that I've chosen these studies because there are many job opportunities related to this field.
Speaker 3.
My main area of knowledge is the study and prevention of mental abnormalities, which could be affective, cognitive or behavioural. We focus on the diagnosis of individuals, which starts with a mental examination, and this is the most difficult part of the job, in my opinion. When I finish my degree, I would like to work in my own consulting room or maybe associate with another colleague who is specialised in a different mental disorder. I have learned so much in class because we have studied so many different case histories that I think I will be ready to achieve my goal. I just hope my job does not affect my personal life.
Speaker 4.
I like comparing texts and analysing them as a human mental process. I've always been keen on languages, and literature is my cup of tea. I started my degree 3 years ago and hope to finish next year. I'm getting good marks, and that is why I will probably get a scholarship to keep on studying at a foreign university. My teachers are bilingual scholars, and my classmates are people with whom you can discuss the topics taught in class in many different languages. But what I like the most is changing the linguistic code of a text, its nature or condition, so that it can be easily understood by other kinds of target speakers or readers.
Speaker 5. My parents forced me to study this degree because it is their profession. I was very reluctant about it at the beginning, but as time went by and I was getting into it, I realized that helping people overcome the candid problem was my vocation. My main discipline is the study of interpersonal relationships and behaviors. I also study human conduct in individuals and in social groups. I want to help people who have difficulty establishing relationships with their peers, and I would not mind doing some scientific research with children. I will have to pass my last two subjects in September. Then I will be ready to look for employment. Speaker 0.
Now, being in my fourth year at university, I could say I have achieved a complete theoretical understanding and vision of the processes that regulate production, distribution and consumption of goods and services which firms and corporations undergo. When I first started, I was not sure I could devote my career to this sector, but as I have a relative who owns a company, I will be given the chance to develop my skills there, especially in statistics and regression analysis. I cannot wait to finish this year. I think I will pass all my exams in September.
Speaker 1.
My favourite subject is comparative linguistics, which compares and contrasts the different languages through texts to establish the historical and current relationships among them. I chose my degree because I love the Anglo-Saxon literature, but I might change it next year to study anthropology, since I have realised that what I really love is learning how language influences social life. I'm currently taking the first course of my degree, and I'm sure that I will miss all those interesting texts and authors, but I will find new ones focusing on how our lives are influenced by our society and culture that will be very inspiring too.
Speaker 2.
My future job will be focused on the management of operations and decision-making processes, as well as coordinating the staff working in a certain company. One of my main duties will be reporting the staff performance to the board of directors. My two favourite subjects are finance and organisational psychology. I will probably take a master's degree in one of these fields when I finish at college. I would love to work for a big company, even if this means moving to a bigger city. I'm so glad that I've chosen these studies because there are many job opportunities related to this field.
Speaker 3.
My main area of knowledge is the study and prevention of mental abnormalities, which could be affective, cognitive or behavioural. We focus on the diagnosis of individuals, which starts with a mental examination, and this is the most difficult part of the job, in my opinion. When I finish my degree, I would like to work in my own consulting room or maybe associate with another colleague who is specialized in a different mental disorder. I have learned so much in class because we have studied so many different case histories that I think I will be ready to achieve my goal. I just hope my job does not affect my personal life.
Speaker 4.
I like comparing texts and analysing them as a human mental process. I've always been keen on languages, and literature is my cup of tea. I started my degree 3 years ago and hope to finish next year. I'm getting good marks, and that is why I will probably get a scholarship to keep on studying at a foreign university. My teachers are bilingual scholars, and my classmates are people with whom you can discuss the topics taught in class in many different languages. But what I like the most is changing the linguistic code of a text, its nature or condition, so that it can be easily understood by other kinds of target speakers or readers.
Speaker 5. My parents forced me to study this degree because it is their profession. I was very reluctant about it at the beginning, but as time went by and I was getting into it, I realized that helping people overcome the candidate problem was my vocation. My main discipline is the study of interpersonal relationships and behaviors. I also study human conduct in individuals and in social groups. I want to help people who have difficulty establishing relationships with their peers, and I would not mind doing some scientific research with children. I will have to pass my last two subjects in September. Then I will be ready to look for employment.
Now look at task 2. You will hear an interview with an actor. For questions 6 to 10, choose the best answer, A, B, or C, according to what you hear. You will hear the recording twice. The first question, 0, has been done for you as an example. You now have 1 minute to read the questions below.
In today's programme, we've got Richard, one of the most famous scary movie actors in the UK. So, Richard, what was it like growing up in London as a celebrity's son?
Well, I was pretty lucky because I used to do things most other kids only dream about. For instance, when I was a teenager, my father used to take me to the other actors' houses, where I was able to meet the most famous ones in the UK. And even nowadays, I still keep in touch with them.
Now you're an actor. Did your father ever try to put you off acting?
Actually, at first, he didn't want me to follow in his steps. He was quite reluctant. I mean, he didn't want me to take up acting, as he didn't want me to spend the whole time travelling around Europe and the States, because he was quite homesick and felt he could have spent more time with us. And he didn't want me to suffer the same as he did. But now he is very glad, because in the end I decided to take up his profession.
Now you look very much like your father, don't you?
Well, everybody says the same. And to be honest, yes, I do look very much like my father. My father is a tallish man. He's a bit plump, with long, wavy brown hair. He's got a round, friendly face and small brown eyes. Surprisingly, I've also got a mole on my cheek, as my father does.
Well, what qualities do you think you have?
Professionally speaking, I think my voice is definitely an actor's voice. The clearest speech, the most commanding delivery, and loud. My friends usually tell me I don't need a phone, as they can hear me from a distance. And personally speaking, I've changed a lot since I was a kid. For instance, I was extremely shy, and I used to hide behind my mum when guests arrived home. But now I'm not. I'm very optimistic and cheerful. I'm always laughing and smiling. I try not to get into trouble, but when I do, I sort them out successfully. This is not a quality that I think I need to change, because I'm terribly stubborn. Once I've made up my mind, it is impossible to get me to change my mind, even if it's obvious that I'm wrong. Apart from that, I'm crafty and quite loyal with my friends.
Apart from acting, what else do you like doing in your free time?
Actually, I spend most of my time working, and I try to keep giving myself difficult and exciting things to do because they make me feel quite relaxed. I mostly practice bungee jumping. I must say that the first time I did it, I was really frightened, as the ground seemed so far away. But I said to myself that nothing would happen, and it wasn't going to kill me. I did my first jump in Paris, and it was pretty scary. But nowadays, I love it and do it twice a week.
Is it true that you are thinking about moving to another European country to live in?
Well, to be honest, I'm in two minds, because everybody knows I'm engaged to a Spanish lady, and her family is very traditional. Her parents want us to live close to them. They even bought us a house in the same village. Besides, she's got a permanent job. She loves it because she's been working as a primary school teacher since she was 21 years old. And actually, I like the idea of moving to Spain because I love sunny weather. And for me, distance is not a problem because it's just 2 hours flying and I don't need to go to London every week.
Thank you very much for coming in today to talk to us, Richard, and good luck with your new film.
Thank you very much indeed.
In today's programme, we've got Richard, one of the most famous scary movie actors in the UK. So, Richard, what was it like growing up in London as a celebrity's son?
Well, I was pretty lucky, because I used to do things most other kids only dream about. For instance, when I was a teenager, my father used to take me to the other actors' houses, where I was able to meet the most famous ones in the UK. And even nowadays, I still keep in touch with them.
Now you're an actor. Did your father ever try to put you off acting?
Actually, at first, he didn't want me to follow in his steps. He was quite reluctant. I mean, he didn't want me to take up acting, as he didn't want me to spend the whole time travelling around Europe and the States, because he was quite homesick and felt he could have spent more time with us. And he didn't want me to suffer the same as he did. But now he is very glad, because in the end I decided to take up his profession.
Now you look very much like your father, don't you?
Well, everybody says the same. And to be honest, yes, I do look very much like my father. My father is a tallish man. He's a bit plump, with long, wavy brown hair. He's got a round, friendly face and small brown eyes. Surprisingly, I've also got a mole on my cheek, as my father does.
Well, what qualities do you think you have?
Professionally speaking, I think my voice is definitely an actor's voice. The clearest speech, the most commanding delivery, and loud. My friends usually tell me I don't need a phone, as they can hear me from a distance. And personally speaking, I've changed a lot since I was a kid. For instance, I was extremely shy, and I used to hide behind my mum when guests arrived home. But now I'm not. I'm very optimistic and cheerful. I'm always laughing and smiling. I try not to get into trouble, but when I do, I sort them out successfully. This is not a quality that I think I need to change, because I'm terribly stubborn. Once I've made up my mind, it is impossible to get me to change my mind, even if it's obvious that I'm wrong. Apart from that, I'm crafty and quite loyal with my friends.
Apart from acting, what else do you like doing in your free time?
Actually, I spend most of my time working, and I try to keep giving myself difficult and exciting things to do because they make me feel quite relaxed. I mostly practice bungee jumping. I must say that the first time I did it, I was really frightened, as the ground seemed so far away. But I said to myself that nothing would happen, and it wasn't going to kill me. I did my first jump in Paris, and it was pretty scary. But nowadays, I love it and do it twice a week.
Is it true that you are thinking about moving to another European country to live in?
Well, to be honest, I'm in two minds, because everybody knows I'm engaged to a Spanish lady, and her family is very traditional. Her parents want us to live close to them. They even bought us a house in the same village. Besides, she's got a permanent job. She loves it because she's been working as a primary school teacher since she was 21 years old. And actually, I like the idea of moving to Spain because I love sunny weather. And for me, distance is not a problem because it's just 2 hours flying and I don't need to go to London every week.
Thank you very much for coming in today to talk to us, Richard, and good luck with your new film.
Thank you very much indeed.
Now look at task three. You will hear a woman talking about her best friend. For questions 11 to 15, complete the sentences with a maximum of 3 words. You will hear the recording twice. Sentence zero has been done for you as an example. You now have 1 minute to read the sentences below. I have known my best friend called Peter Smith since we were at school. Peter, who was born and brought up in rural London, was the eldest of 10 brothers in a Scottish family. It was such a big family that there was always somebody in a pram to be wheeled out for a walk. They used to be badly off, and Peter's brothers were always poorly dressed. Despite his lack of interest, Peter was forced to go to school because of an order from the local education authority. But he used to play truant, as he preferred to stay home to help his father. Honestly, I must say that Peter was not very good at school, but he always tried to make the best out of life. He used to be a marvellous speaker because he had such a sharp wit. Peter's father used to work as a plumber for a living and had a reputation as a very good one. He was considered to be one of the best plumbers in the village, but owing to being Scottish and no matter how hard he worked, he was hardly ever offered anything to install and repair. I don't know how they got by on the small amount he earned. That situation really got me down, and my parents were always willing to help them. Peter's mother used to be famous for her fortune-telling. I remember seeing and listening to her and how she used to get her future customers' attention. "Cross my palm with silver and I will tell you your fortune." She was also an excellent seamstress, but however well she sewed, she never succeeded in finding a steady job, so she was always short of money. Time went by, and unfortunately, Peter's father died when Peter was almost 10 years old. His mother, who had been in mourning for a long time and fed up living in such a terrible situation, decided to make an amazing journey from London to Sydney in Australia. This astonishing adventure, which she had been determined to do since Peter's father passed away, took her a long while after thinking it over to finally make a decision. They set out from their house in their own caravan until the port where they had to take a ship. The weather was appalling, perhaps the coldest winter in Europe for years. Some people would be terrified even at the idea, but they were excited. It took them 1 month to arrive in Sydney. Life was difficult at first, and for a short while they had to live in a tent and had to go through unpleasant situations. Peter's mother never stopped working, and she was able to put some money aside because she wanted to buy a house there. Luckily, she found a job where she earned a lot of money. All Peter's siblings were able to go on studying so they could buy a beautiful house, where they have been living ever since. I have known my best friend called Peter Smith since we were at school. Peter, who was born and brought up in rural London, was the eldest of 10 brothers in a Scottish family. It was such a big family that there was always somebody in a pram to be wheeled out for a walk. They used to be badly off, and Peter's brothers were always poorly dressed. Despite his lack of interest, Peter was forced to go to school because of an order from the local education authority. But he used to play truant, as he preferred to stay home to help his father. Honestly, I must say that Peter was not very good at school, but he always tried to make the best out of life. He used to be a marvellous speaker because he had such a sharp wit. Peter's father used to work as a plumber for a living and had a reputation as a very good one. He was considered to be one of the best plumbers in the village, but owing to being Scottish and no matter how hard he worked, he was hardly ever offered anything to install and repair. I don't know how they got by on the small amount he earned. That situation really got me down, and my parents were always willing to help them. Peter's mother used to be famous for her fortune-telling. I remember seeing and listening to her and how she used to get her future customers' attention. "Cross my palm with silver and I will tell you your fortune." She was also an excellent seamstress, but however well she sewed, she never succeeded in finding a steady job, so she was always short of money. Time went by, and unfortunately, Peter's father died when Peter was almost 10 years old. His mother, who had been in mourning for a long time and fed up living in such a terrible situation, decided to make an amazing journey from London to Sydney in Australia. This astonishing adventure, which she had been determined to do since Peter's father passed away, took her a long while after thinking it over to finally make a decision. They set out from their house in their own caravan until the port where they had to take a ship. The weather was appalling, perhaps the coldest winter in Europe for years. Some people would be terrified even at the idea, but they were excited. It took them 1 month to arrive in Sydney. Life was difficult at first, and for a short while they had to live in a tent and had to go through unpleasant situations. Peter's mother never stopped working, and she was able to put some money aside because she wanted to buy a house there. Luckily, she found a job where she earned a lot of money. All Peter's siblings were able to go on studying so they could buy a beautiful house, where they have been living ever since. You now have 3 minutes to check your answers and copy them onto the tables provided. That's the end of the test.